All right, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I want to begin in verse number 4, but our main text is verse number 9, and the Bible says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful. That's the name and thrust of our message. This is a snapshot of a message that I preached a few weeks ago on this very text, and I don't want to go the whole 45 minutes plus here in this podcast. I just want to highlight a couple of things, but before I do, I wanted to take a minute to talk a little bit about the Apostle Paul, since he's the author of this book. And, you know, there's some things about Paul that are worth imitating in our own life. And Paul said, be followers of me as I am of Christ. And so what Paul was saying there was, be an imitator of me as I imitate Christ. And of course, we would all agree that Christ is our ultimate example in life and in ministry. But there's some things about Paul, and we know at the very top, you know, the surface, we know that Paul was committed to his ministry. We know that Paul had quite an extensive ministry. Paul suffered a great deal of persecution, many missionary journeys, imprisonments, whippings, beatings, and stonings, and just a lot of stuff going on there. Physically, Paul had a thorn in his flesh, and God said, nope, my grace is sufficient for thee. And so we see all of that. We also see Paul's unquestionable fondness, affection for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, the world's crucified unto him. He's crucified unto the world. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. To die is gain, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. His whole life, his whole ministry centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is all that Paul wanted to do, was to preach Christ and him crucified, to do what God wanted him to do, building churches, building men, building ministries. And Paul went through the whole thing, and he was faithful right unto the end. It says over there in Timothy, he finished his course. He did well. And those are all admirable things that we should all strive to imitate in our own lives. But there are other things that Paul had. His unquestionable faith in God. And he was fully persuaded of God. He was fully persuaded that God was able to accomplish the things that God desired to accomplish, and through Paul. In a number of places, Paul talked about having confidence, and other places, Paul talked about being persuaded. And the most notable one, at least for me anyway, is Romans 8, verses 35 through 39, where Paul says, I am persuaded that nothing shall separate me from the love of Christ. What was the driving force behind Paul's confidence? How did Paul, after all that Paul went through, how could he say at the end of the day that he was fully persuaded of these things? And I believe it is this. He understood and knew that God is faithful. My friends, our hope clings to the faithfulness of God. And I believe Paul's goal here in this text was to introduce the faithfulness of God so the Christians here at Corinth would understand and believe by faith that they would be kept unto everlasting life. Or as it states in verse number 8, who also shall confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a level of confidence there that Paul had, preached to the church, and he wanted them to have it. And Lord knows we need more confidence in Christianity today. There is an ever-widening gap between man and God, particularly within the Christian community. And it was never intended to be that way. We need to draw closer to God. We need to get as close as we can to God. And the only way that we can get close to God is more knowledge of Him and right knowledge of Him. And I believe this is a good starting point. Just understanding this is basic doctrine, basic theology. God is faithful. And we might say that God is faithful, but what does it mean? And how does it apply to your life? And how deep does that truth go? And how much does that truth motivate you and help you in your day-to-day living for the Lord? And so in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24, the Bible says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." So there's a number of things here. Number one, God will finish what he's begun in you, Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. So yes, you're born again, you're saved, you're a child of God. That's just the beginning. There's a whole life to be lived for Jesus Christ. That work that God has begun, that will go on day by day by day by day. Number two, God is faithful in his promises. And there are a number of promises that God has delivered on in the Bible. When you're reading your Bible, look for those promises made and promises fulfilled. And for example, here, God promised a redeemer back there in Genesis chapter 3. And we see that fulfillment in the New Testament, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his death at Calvary. Number three, God is faithful and just in regards to forgiveness of sins. 1 John 1, verse number 9, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we confess them before God. Why cling to sin? Why harbor sin? Why feel guilt and remorse when you can confess it before the Lord and repent and walk away from it? He's faithful. In other words, he will forgive you of your sin. And he's just because he satisfied the demands of the law, and his sacrifice at Calvary and resurrection pleased the Father. And so Jesus Christ is our mediator. He is our propitiation between God and man. We also see that the assurance of God's faithfulness comes with our knowledge of his other attributes. And so I think this is an important study for believers. Study out the attributes of God. What does it mean when we talk about the sovereignty of God, God's omniscience, omnipotence, his immutability? What does it mean when we talk about his mercy and his love, his goodness, and all those other attributes? It means a lot because it presents to us a balanced being who is capable of doing the things that he said he would do. God is indeed faithful. He is unchangeable. He is all-powerful. He is omnipotent or sovereign over all things. And we think of that verse over there in Romans where it says all things will work together for good to them that are the called and them that love God. All things will work together according to his purpose. God is all-powerful, he's all-loving, all-merciful, and he is unchanging. We don't worship a fickle God, my friends. The second thing that we see here in this text is God's call, God's calling. It is a divine calling, and this calling is through his Son, Jesus Christ, in whom he is well-pleased. When Jesus came up out of the waters of baptism, God said down out of heaven, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And so God extends that call out, and he extends it out because of his graciousness, because of his love, and because of his mercy. And so regardless of our past, regardless of what kind of sin, what kind of burden, God loved us and sent Jesus to make an atonement, to redeem us from the auction block of sin so we would no longer be under that burden and that condemnation as a result of it. Now, what are the privileges of being called? Now, this is something that's probably not talked a whole lot about today, and I think it should be. There are privileges that go along with being a child of God. Too many people forget this. And I want to caution everybody, not everybody is a child of God. You know, we live in a world that says everybody's a child of God, everybody's made in the image of God, and all of that stuff, you hear it constantly. And again, it just shows you the ever-widening gap between Bible-believing, biblical Christianity, and the world's moral philosophy, if you will, or worldview, kind of coming in between what the Bible says concerning holiness, concerning God, salvation, and so forth, and then, you know, the world's ideas about what salvation and what God are and everything else. There are privileges that only come from being called or being born again. Number one, justification. Number two, righteousness, that is to say, the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. And going back to justification, we are justified. It's a forensic term. We are declared guilt-free and shame-free. We will never have to give an account or be judged or condemned for our sin. We are justified based on what Jesus Christ did. We are justified by faith. We are justified by the blood. And then we receive sonship or adoption. This is a big word for me lately. I don't know, spending a lot of time talking about it in church and the family and stuff. We are adopted into the family of God. And that means as sons and daughters, we have all the rights and privileges of sons and daughters, all the rights and privileges of heaven. Now, people in the world think that they're children of God. They got this universalist mentality. Everybody's going to be saved in the end. That's not true. That's not true. And that is a heresy. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning of verse number 1, and you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. Now note verse 2, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You are not a child of God. You are a child of wrath. But verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Not everybody is a child of God. And then the other thing that we have, or the other privilege that we have, is access to heaven. I know that in words of Paul, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To die is gain. I know that. I know that based on what the Word of God says, and even more so, I know that because of God's faithfulness. God will not forsake me. God will not condemn me. God will not unsave me, if that makes any sense to you. I know I will not lose my sonship. I will not lose my justification. I will never not be unrighteous, because the righteousness that I have has been imputed to me from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the last thing is God's design or purpose, and that is fellowship with Christ, as pointed out in verse number 9. So it's a very distinct fellowship. In other words, only those who are in Christ can have fellowship with him. Now, we understand the gospel goes out to all, but it is received by few. It's a universal fellowship, meaning that anybody who's born again, child of God, baptized into the body of Christ, we are all built on the foundation of the apostles and of Christ. This fellowship also has to do with Christ's character. In other words, we strive to be like Christ. We strive to have the mind of Christ. We want to be followers of Christ, or disciples, imitators, and representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we ought to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. And I think sometimes we forget who we are as Christians, and we are to represent Jesus Christ in the best way possible. And so in order for us to do that, we have to find out what Jesus Christ did, how Jesus Christ lived, how he spoke, how he preached, how he ministered, the kind of compassion that he had, the things that displeased the Lord. I mean, he talked about a number of things that displeased him, you know, the Pharisees and the hypocrites and all of that stuff. And he mentions all of that stuff. And so we spend our life striving to be like Christ by getting rid of some of those things in our life that contradict the life of Christ. And then also our fellowship in terms of our work or service to him. We are called unto a great work. We really are. And so our fellowship with him is also our service to him. And I can't remember where I got this quote, but this is what the author said. In motive, the Christian life is service to Christ. In result, it is service to man. So I'll conclude here. Our fellowship with Christ, our hope of eternal life or peace, bliss, our strength, our vision, purpose, all our supplies or supply stands or falls on the faithfulness of God. And we know, based on what the Bible says, that all these things will be provided that we can live a victorious life. So from start to finish, our confidence as Christians should immediately fall on God. We should rest and trust in him in all things in this life, and especially all things in our service, and all things in our hope as far as eternity is concerned. At the end of the day can be a mess. At the end of the week, it can be a mess. But God is always faithful. And I try to encourage people, they're discouraged, they're going through depression, they're in trials, their faith is waning, there's doubt creeping in. And I just say, look, you got to anchor yourself to this. God is faithful. If you repeat nothing else, just repeat that. God is faithful by faith. And you'll yet praise him for the help of his countenance. All right, take care and have a good afternoon.